Matthew chapter 6, where we're at. Not Matthew 5, Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6:19. Read these verses. These are some of the probably the toughest verses in the Bible because they come so close to the heart. Matthew 6:19. You'll understand when we read these here. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay out for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So talk about where the things that are valuable to you are, that's where you find your heart. And the Lord is after your heart. And He knows that your heart's going to be wherever the things that are valuable to you are. And so we'll discuss this. There's a lot of cross references to this, but let's pray, and we'll talk about this treasure and your heart. Father, I thank you. Thank you so much for your words, and thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And thank you for, Lord, justification and the Holy Spirit of God, and Lord, all of the benefits and blessings that are in Jesus Christ that we get to participate in through faith. And Lord, I pray if anybody here is not saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. They'd understand their need for Jesus Christ. They would understand the severity of their sin before a holy God, and then understand the love and compassion of you in providing a way for sin to be completely taken away. And Lord, an opportunity to live eternally in a body that has no sin and a body that not even has any desire for it. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd help us. These verses are close to our hearts, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us apply these things where we need to apply them. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Matthew 6. One of the things that's been the theme over and over here has been the truth that God is the rewarder, and like Hebrews chapter 11 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so what Matthew 6 has been about is the application or the diligent search that someone would make here through prayer, through fasting, through almsgiving in early on in chapter 6, and now dealing with laying up investments. And so if you trust, let's say it this way. You would have no idea who Peter is if Peter would have continued fishing. You would have no idea who Matthew is if Matthew would continue working for the IRS. You would have no idea who James is or John was if they had continued fishing. The reason you know those names, and the reason those names are written forever in heaven and the foundations, and talk about the foundation of the apostles, the reason those men are where they are and who they are and how they're remembered today is because of what they chose to invest of their lives in an eternal God. And what they've given up in this life and invest in choosing to believe and understand that God is the rewarder. And they made a diligent search through these things. And Matthew chapter 6, he's describing this diligent search. So You're in Matthew 6. Let's just kind of be reminded of this. Look over in verse 1. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Down in verse 2, the very end of it, he says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Look in now verse 4. He says, "That thine alms may be in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." See that word reward over and over and over again. And it's a reward based on what someone chose to trust God Almighty with. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I, how does he say? Some of you guys may help me out with this. I know that he is able, to keep that which I have committed unto him. I know that he's able to do that. And so, we may look at the verse a little bit later, but that's the idea. That the amount of investment that a person is willing to make on this side of heaven, the Lord has promised there is a return on that investment. And men, we are so, we can be and are so short-sighted with this life. The Lord has to consistently remind us what is actually valuable versus what appears to be valuable. Because things appear to be valuable that aren't valuable. And so the Lord has to remind us that there are some things that are valuable, and this is what he says. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." All right, so there are some investments that can be made, and let me kind of make a little caveat here. He's not saying that, you know, you make a living and you don't pay your bills, or you don't supply for your children, things like that. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, he says it's wise for parents to lay up for their children. That's a wise thing. But the truth is, any investment you make here for yourself, the investment you make here on this earth, will eventually go away. And any investment you make in the Lord's business and the Lord's work will never go away. And it's just the truth. It's just that. It's just the principle, the facts of the matter. It's just the way it is. So every one of us is in pursuit of something we find valuable. In fact, our lives are the expression of what we find valuable. So we're all going towards something that we think has value. And we arrange our lives like that, and we make our decisions based on this value. And without light from God Almighty, we will find value in things that eventually don't have any value. And so the Lord has got to enter in, and without his revelation, we just have no idea what we're doing. And he's got to constantly remind us, hey, this is valuable and this is not as valuable as you think it is. This thing may have value for a time, but eventually it won't have any value. This other thing over here has value forever. And so here, I'll give you a couple of verses on this. Look over in Matthew chapter 16. When he says treasures, that can be defined as wealth accumulated, something put in reserve, something you set back for the future. Webster said a great quantity of anything collected for future use. Matthew 16, look at this one. And there's a lot of verses on this, but hopefully we can get what we need out of this and make it an application where we need to. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." All right, if Matthew, if James, if Peter, if John don't do that, Matthew, James, Peter, and John can't follow Jesus where he's going. If Paul does not decide to do this, Paul cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ where he's going. It says, then said Jesus, verse 24, read it again. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. All right, so again, God being the rewarder, Jesus Christ returning with the rewards, that's the principle of the thing. Whatever you choose to lay up in store and trust Jesus Christ with and trust God Almighty with, he will come back and reward that. Whatever you choose to hang on to, whatever you choose to use for your own pleasure, and that's kind of going to be the battle. Do I want to live this life, make it completely as comfortable as I possibly can, or am I willing to give up some things for Jesus Christ? The problem is you're not going to be able to do both, because that's where the things intersect. Moses, it was said of Moses, he chose rather, instead of the pleasures of sin for a season in Egypt, he chose to suffer affliction with God's people, esteeming those riches greater riches than what he could find in Egypt. So he said, you know, I could make some investment in Egypt, probably make a good living here. I'm in, you know, political power, you know, in the king's court and all that kind of stuff. And I could choose to have all of the blessings of Egypt until Egypt doesn't have any more blessings and all of the gold is gone and his life is over and things like that. Or he can choose, like he said in Hebrews chapter 11, to esteem the reproach of Christ of greater riches than what he could find in the world, which he did. That was the definition of faith there. All right, let me show you. You're in Matthew 16. Look over in chapter 19. Treasure is anything valuable to you. And the truth is, it's of such value that you wouldn't give it up for the Lord. Or it's something, the treasure is something you don't have that you're pursuing, that you're in pursuit of. And you're in pursuit of it to the exclusion of pursuing the Lord in something. All right, Matthew 19. This is to show you, things actually do come between you and the Lord. They actually do. I know we have this kind of American mentality that I serve the Lord and I have a bunch of stuff and I do all this and all these things are compatible with each other. The reality is things do come between you and the Lord. Matthew 19, look at verse 16. There's a lot of things we could say about this, but I just want to show you this idea of possessions versus serving the Lord. Matthew 19:16 says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Meaning, he had too much to lose. There's just too much to lose in his mind, and it's not worth giving up to follow Jesus Christ. There's just too much. And so, like I said, there's a lot of things we could say about it, and we'll deal with it when we get to Matthew 19. But I want you to see these things that people value, that you may value, literally do come between you and Jesus Christ. When things are so valuable that they occupy obedience, when they take away from your obedience to the Lord, when they take away from your ability to serve the Lord. I mean, you may find yourself tied up in so much stuff and so many possessions that you don't have the ability to serve the Lord. When the Lord wants you to do something, there's nothing to do because everything's tied up in what you find valuable. That's this man. The Lord says, here's what you do. And I know the Lord knew what he was talking about and knew the man's heart and knew exactly what to tell him. And he said, this is the problem here. You're hooked up with your stuff and you're not going to let it go. And so he identifies the problem. And here's the reaction that we can have today or that people have. They can go away sorrowful saying, it's just too costly. I can't do that. It would cost me too much to do that. And so you go away sorrowful like the fellow here goes away sorrowful. I'll give you another one. Look over in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Giving you the warning side of it first, then we'll give you some what are the things you're laying up? What can be laid up in store? Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Luke 12:13 says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Like, Jesus, go tell my brother that I get some of this stuff. And Jesus says, he said unto him, verse 14, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? I'm not going to get involved in that. The guy has business who has the inheritance who he wants to give it to. Verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed. Now this is the issue. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. But we believe that it does. And I would probably say more so our kids probably believe that. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, which is exactly what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This fella in this world would be considered a success. He dies with an abundance of stuff, more than we can spend and he can even do anything with. He dies with so much stuff. And in the eyes of God, when his soul is required of him, he has nothing. He lost it. There was nothing put up. There's no wealth before God. And so the contrast is over and over. The world has a perception of wealth, and it's not God's perception of wealth. According to the world, that fellow that died in Luke 12 was a great man. great business. He had what everybody dreams of having. Stuff. More stuff. Stuff for tomorrow. Stuff for next year. Stuff for 10 years down the road. But he wasn't rich toward God. He never made any investment in eternal matters. In the world's eyes, great. In God's eyes, you haven't made a deposit in my bank, so there's nothing I can give you back. I can't give you any interest on this. I can't give you a return on your investment because you haven't made any here. Your money's not here. It's with the stuff that you lost when you died. He's a wealthy guy. Here's the idea again. We have got to constantly be reminded of what is actually valuable. Because we have no idea what's valuable. We think we know what's valuable, and things appear to have value. But without the light of the scriptures, there's no idea what's valuable. So here's one more. I'll give you one more on this thought process. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 14. Revelation 3:14. Revelation 3:14. Just notice the philosophy of life here. And what people think in absence of the light of Jesus Christ here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Watch, this is why. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. You have a perception of wealth that's not real. You have an idea of rich that's not real. So God's got to intervene and reveal, look, We gotta pull back the curtain on the Wizard of Oz here. We gotta pull back the curtain and show you what you're really after, and what you're losing out chasing after this thing. Verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. You see, that again, the difference between what we think is valuable versus what God said is value. There is, in Hebrews 11, This is defining that diligent search there. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is part of the diligent search, where you're laying up things where you don't see God, but you trust God with the stuff. You trust God with your time. You trust God with your investments. You trust God with your energy. You trust God with your children. You trust God with these things. And it's impossible to trust God with these things if you don't believe he's also a rewarder of those that'll trust him with these things. Practically, you guys understand this. You try not to make investments that you know are losing investments. I know you try not to. We try not to. You try to pursue things and put your money and your time and your energy into things you think have value. I don't think you just try to waste your time or waste your money because it's valuable to you, or your energy, or whatever it is we got left there. You pursue things that are valuable to you. And that's exactly what the Lord says in Matthew 6. He says, look, where your treasure is, that's where I'm going to find your heart. Where the things that are valuable to you are, that's where your heart is. And I want your heart. And in order to get your heart, I've got to get a hold of what's valuable to you. I don't really need what's valuable to you. I don't need those things. What I want is your heart. So here's what he says over in Matthew 6. He says, where moth and rust corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. We'll go back over. Look over in Matthew 6, just to read the text there. Matthew 6, 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. I think sometimes, and I feel this way, preaching something like this or teaching something like this, people get the idea when they hear it, you know, well, he's going to talk about money and he's after my pocketbook or something like that. The Bible says the thief is after your pocketbook, not the preacher. The thief is after your pocketbook. The moth is after the garments. The rust is after the gold. That's what's after it. Not God, not the church or whatever. That's what's after it. And that's what's going to get it. That's what will get it in the end. If it's not invested and not put where it can be kept safe. Last thing. So he says, or last thing, and I say last thing. I say it every time. It's just the last note on this one here. So, notice that the thieves, the moth, and the rust. I'll show you where that shows up again. Look over in James chapter 5. I'll show you where it shows up again. James chapter 5, verse 1. James 5, 1. It says, go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. And the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton. Wanton, just, I want everything. Want. That's an easy way to describe it. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. So your life consisted of being fattened up for a slaughter. Pleasure, day after day, maximum pleasure. How can I pleasure, find pleasure in this life? How can I make this life easy and comfortable? How can I set myself up so that there is no trouble, there is no heartache, there is no, everything is comfortable? And he says, you've done that to the exclusion of laying up anything in the bank of God Almighty. You might have found pleasure in this life, but that stuff is temporary and it's not going to last. The truth is just, it's a basic truth. God's investments have a 100% return on them. You're not going to lose what you commit to the Lord. You will lose whatever you commit in this earth. Period. It will be lost. That's just the basic truth. It's up to you what you want to commit to God. It's up to you what you want to give. It's up to you what time you want to devote to Him. It's up to you what kind of energy you want to devote to Him. It's up to you what kind of, what is it, time, talent, treasure, all that stuff. It's up to you what you want to devote to Him and invest in that bank. That's up to you. But He's the rewarder, and He promises a reward. And you and I, we're chasing what we think is valuable. And here, God Almighty has said, I will give you a return on your investment. You're not going to lose any of it. Yet it's so hard to get us out of the mindset of this world and what's wealthy and what's productive in this world. And you got to just like tear us away from that stuff. We're so connected to it. So what is the treasure? What is the treasure? Look over in Matthew chapter 19. Go back over here. You've seen some warnings. Here's some of the treasures. Here's some of the promises about the treasure. Matthew 19:27. Matthew 19:27 says, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold. What an investment. So if you put a dollar in, you get a hundred back? Not in this life. Not now. Later. Not now. Later. Verse 29, he says, Everyone that hath forsaken houses and brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And he goes on and describes that in Matthew 20. So there's a promise on a return. There's a return on investment. I don't know that you could get that from any investment group where they promise a hundredfold return on what you're putting in. In fact, I know they don't promise. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. But I want you to see the positive side of it, because I know our minds are so hooked up with this world. If you can understand, when Jesus Christ returns, He returns with a reward. And whatever you've invested, whatever deposits you've committed and made in His, I guess, I don't know what else to call it, but bank, but whatever deposits you've made with Him, He comes back 100 times with that deposit. That's the promise here, 100 times. Look over in Luke chapter 6 to show you something else. And those investments, they don't go away. Luke 6:20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Poor is just needy. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. That's a promise. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Then he gives some warnings. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. I mainly want you to see the rewards there, because we've dealt with some of the warning, but it all came together on that one. There's rewards and warnings there. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll give you a couple more here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. Don't blow your nose in the microphone. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That is the Lord as the husbandman, the Lord as the hirer, and giving to every man who's invested in his work according to their labor. Look down in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So some people made an investment on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and it might have cost them in this life, and it probably did cost them something in this life. Because that's the nature of this life. But when Jesus Christ returns with that reward, he says, you get your reward. If any man's work abide, verse 14, any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we're dealing with rewards here. This is a description of the rewards and things like that. This is not a description of how you get saved. Let me make that clear. It's not a description of how a person gets saved by giving up their life here. But it is a description of how a person is rewarded. And what they've chosen in this life to invest, God will return with their full reward, 100-fold, to pay it back. Yeah, I think about this. I don't know if this is, if this is necessarily the way this whole thing works, but when I read something like this about the foundation and building on that foundation, we were talking about the other day, I wonder sometimes if you're almost like you're still sending building materials up and allowing the Lord to build whatever he's going to build for you and all that. I don't know. It's just a thought to picture how this rewards things works. All right, here's the principle. Back over in Matthew chapter 6. And here's the principle. Remember, this is just what faith looks like when it's being applied to life. Someone who believes that God is the rewarder will make an investment in what God's doing. Matthew 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's what the Lord's after, the heart. He doesn't particularly need your treasure. He doesn't particularly need your time and energy. But he wants to reward that. He's a good God who wants to reward. Don't you, as a parent, or you're a parent, wouldn't you rather reward your children than have to chastise them? Isn't it much more of a blessing if they did something right and to be able to give them something good because of what they've done right, rather than have to deal with trouble and sin and another spanking or whatever it is? That's God the Father. He wants to reward. He is a rewarder. And he wants to reward, and he would rather reward than have to burn the whole thing down. So the principle is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Lord's after your heart. And he knows the treasure is where the heart's going to end up. And the more a soul will commit to the Lord, the more the Lord will have the heart. We got a few minutes here, but I'll give you this verse. 2 Timothy, look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I think this is the one we were trying to quote earlier. 2 Timothy 1:12. Do what? Second Timothy 1, look in verse 11 for the context of it. It says, Paul said, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. So being a preacher, being a teacher of the Gentiles, being an apostle was not a profitable business idea in this world. It could cause suffering to him. For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That's the encouragement. Hold on to it. Paul said, I am completely, completely convinced, and I have proven it, I'm showing you it by the way I live my life, that I fully believe God's work is a good investment. And I am fully convinced and persuaded that in God's work, when God is the boss and I'm working for him, he pays out very well. And he doesn't lose anything. He doesn't forget anything. Stuff that he gives doesn't go away. It doesn't get lost. It doesn't corrupt over time. And when God pays out, he pays out well, and he pays out eternally. And the stuff that he rewards men with for serving him is treasure that can never be taken away. So this is the Lord as a good boss, as a good husbandman, as a person who will reward. And the idea of it is, like we said in Matthew chapter 6, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. The things that are valuable to you, that's where your heart is. The Lord's after your heart. He doesn't particularly need your treasure, but he knows if he has your treasure, then he has your heart too. And it's just, you're not going to separate the two. And I think that's sometimes why it gets so uncomfortable to think about some of these things, because you're actually getting to where the heart is. And you have to deal with where the heart actually is. And it's a reminder, and it's an instruction and an admonishment and an encouragement not to just, you know, hey, live sacrificially or whatever you're getting out of this. But it's a reminder and a promise that God is a rewarder. I think we forget that side. It's like, you just want to take away all my stuff. No, I want to give you better stuff. It's not that I just want to take everything away, not that God's just mean and he wants you to live a horrible life here. He wants you to get better stuff that lasts. He wants to be able to reward you with stuff that doesn't corrupt, that you won't lose. But we got to get past the first initial part of this where there's some effort and some time and some energy and some talent and some treasure involved here. And if you want to invest it in this world, there's a guarantee it will be lost. If you want to invest it in the bank that is God Almighty as a rewarder, there's a guarantee it will never be lost. And that's just the principle. And wherever that treasure is, that's the direction you're heading in. That's what you're that's your decisions in life. Because you're pursuing what you find value in. That's what we're all doing. And the Lord has to constantly remind us of what is actually valuable versus what we perceive as value. So where your treasure is, he says, there will your heart be also. And I hope I know when going over this and preparing this stuff, it is something that I get convicted about when I read this. It's just like, what? There are people on the other side of the world that have given up everything. You know when someone trusts Jesus Christ in Indonesia, it usually means they don't have any more family. It usually means they're cast out of their social realm there. Here it's, we're all Christians in Beeville. It doesn't really mean anything. We all go to church. We're all saved, I'm sure, and that's a big difference. And that's why it is we have to constantly be reminded of the cost involved in all this. And if you want to invest in the Lord's work, there is not going to be an opportunity to invest in things down here. Meaning you have to make the choice. And whatever you want to commit to God Almighty, it's up to you. You make whatever commitment it is. God says, I will return that reward if you want to commit to me. I'll return with something. I'll return 100-fold, he says over in Matthew. But you get the idea. You're pursuing what's valuable to you. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And your life, my life, is the expression of what we find valuable. It's what it is. It's what it is. And I hope that's helpful. I know it's close to the heart, and that's where it needs to be. But that's where it is. And the Lord is just explaining this rewards and all that. I'll wrap it up here. Let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for your words. I pray it's been helpful. Lord, our brand of what we call Christianity here doesn't really, I don't even know if it's biblical. It doesn't really have any cost to it. Oftentimes it's status or something else. But Lord, I pray we would get this truth and understand it. And recognize and accept that where our heart is, that's the pursuit of our lives. That's the thing that we find valuable. That treasure that's where we're headed. And Lord, you want to give us so much more. You want to provide and make these investments eternal investments. But we are so blinded by the temporary pleasures of this life. I pray you'd help us. We need help. We desperately need help. Lord, I pray if anybody here is not saved, that's the first thing. You got to get saved. You got to trust Jesus Christ, believing that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lord, we've got to, if someone here is not saved, I pray they'd understand to trust their soul with Jesus Christ. Trust their sin with Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins. Take away their sin. Lord, you're the only ones ever offered to take away their sin. And I pray to understand that today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.